Welcome to the good, the bad, and the ugly of self-storage, your go-to podcast for mastering the self-storage industry. Join host Michael Cunningham and his son Dylan Cunningham as they share insider knowledge, firsthand experiences, and practical advice. Each episode, they dive into real stories from lucrative deals and strategic renovations to the challenges and pitfalls that await. Whether you're a seasoned operator or new to the industry, learn how to succeed, avoid common traps, and seize great opportunities. Tune in to hear their journey, lessons learned, and secrets to making your storage facility a success. Unlock the potential of self-storage with us.
Welcome back to the good, the bad, and the ugly of self-storage. I'm Dylan Cunningham, and as always, today, my dad is with us, co-host Michael Cunningham. In today's episode, we're going to be diving into the world of rough grading, one of the first major steps in building a single-story drive-up self-storage facility. Rough grading is basically where you shape the land to ensure proper drainage, a strong foundation, and efficient construction. Dad, before we get into the details, can you explain why rough grading is so critical to the success of a project?
Absolutely, Dylan. Rough grading is the foundation, literally, of any self-storage development. If you're getting it wrong, you're going to face drainage issues, structural problems, and unexpected costs down the road. It sets the stage for the entire project. But before we dive into this episode, as always, our podcast is for entertainment purposes and intended as a springboard for anyone interested in self-storage and potentially considering building their own self-storage facility. Always consult with professionals that specialize in this type of work before you invest.
So let's start with the basics. If I'm developing my first self-storage facility, how do I choose the right grading company?
Great question. When selecting a grading contractor, you want someone with experience in commercial projects, especially self-storage. Look at their portfolio, check references, and ensure they have the right equipment and crew size to handle the job effectively. I like to use local guys who know the soil and have good relationships with the local quarries and trucking and base rock supply.
That's some good advice. What about price? What should someone expect to pay per square foot for rough grading?
Yeah, it varies. It depends on soil conditions, project complexity, but I would say as a good rule of thumb, it's around $2 to $4 per square foot. Factors like cut and fill work, soil type, and site balancing can drive costs up or down.
Gotcha. Now, I know it's super important to have a balanced property. I've heard you mention, you know, having a balanced property is key. What does that mean and why is it so important?
Yeah, absolutely. A balanced property means that the amount of dirt you cut, basically remove, is roughly equal to the amount of dirt you fill or add. So you don't need to haul in or remove excess soil. Mm-hmm. This reduces trucking costs, environmental impact, and permits for soil export or import.
Gotcha. And how would the engineer help make sure that the site is balanced?
Right. Your civil engineer plays a crucial role. They design the grading plan to minimize the amount of dirt that needs to be removed on or off-site. They also ensure proper drainage slopes, pad elevations, and site accessibility.
Gotcha.
So, quick shout out to Dirt Match. We've used Dirt Match in the past, kind of like a dating site for dirt. Whether you need dirt or you need to get rid of dirt, it's a really cool site nationwide. So, if you have an opportunity and you're in need of dirt or need to get dirt, remove dirt, check it out. It's called dirtmatch.com. No affiliation, just a great, great source.
All right. Shout out dirtmatch.com, everyone.
So when you drive by a construction site, you see all these stakes in the ground. What are they? And how do you read them, Dylan?
Yeah, so those are called construction stakes. They tell the grading contractor basically where to cut, remove, fill, add, and place key features like roads and building pads. Each stake typically has an offset measurement that indicates how far the finished grade needs to be above or below that point.
So what are stake offsets?
Yeah, so staking offsets are reference points set at a known distance from where actual grading needs to occur. So this prevents stakes from being disturbed during grading and gives contractors a guide to follow. Most of the time, in a rough grading situation, you're working with a 10-foot offset.
Okay, perfect.
So now that we've kind of covered that, let's talk about the different types of grading. What are the three main types?
Rough grading is obviously the beginning. It's the heavy lifting of the dirt. This is when big machines come in, cut, move, and fill earth to shape the basic layout of the site. It sets the foundation for everything that comes next, from drainage flow to building pad elevations. If you're moving a ton of dirt, this is the stage where it happens. So I would say that's number one. So next would be finished grading. Once rough grading is done, finished grading fine-tunes everything. This step smooths out the surface, compacts the soil, and removes any excess debris or rocks. Think of it as preparing the land for its final form, whether it's for pavement, landscaping, or building a slab. It might not look flashy, but it makes a big difference in the long run. And the final grading, it's exactly what it sounds like, the last step before hardscaping, seeding, or paving. This is where we make sure everything is level, compacted, and ready for construction. It's also when we mix in soil amendments, if needed, to optimize the ground for planting or finishing touches. Yeah, grading isn't just about moving dirt. It's about setting up the site for success. Whether it's preparing for a building foundation, roads, or landscaping, each type of grading plays a key role in making sure everything functions properly and lasts for years to come.
Awesome. So let's kind of go over some of the next steps. What are some of the modern tools and machines used in grading today?
So technology's come a long way. Some of the key innovations, specifically with grading, are GPS-controlled bulldozers and graders. They allow for precise grading with minimal manual staking. Really, really minimizes the work of the engineering firm to come out and stake the property. Mm. 3D modeling and takeoffs. This would be a great shout-out to Affordable Site Modeling. They do earthwork takeoffs. We've used them multiple times, all through GPS machine-controlled models. They basically use satellite images to make sure your property is balanced. These guys are great if you're using GPS graders and dozers, or if you want to make sure the site's balanced, as it can be, you know, especially in the early stages if you're just trying to budget things. This takes the guesswork out of what your site needs.
Wow, very interesting. So this tech not only saves time, but also cuts costs.
Absolutely. Less rework, fewer errors, and improvement for efficiency.
Perfect. Let's keep moving forward. On to kind of compaction and maybe special inspection. So what is compaction and why does it matter so much?
Yeah, so compaction's the process of compressing the soil to increase stability and prevent settling. If the soil isn't compacted properly, you'll have major structural problems down the road. So Dylan, I know you've seen this process, you've been in it. What's the proper way to compact the soil?
Great question. I would say depending on your site, you know, if your site is at grade already or if you need to add soil, if you're at grade and need compaction, you will need to excavate your site down and reapply the soil. But it needs to have the right moisture content before compacting. If it's too dry and it won't compact properly, or if it's too wet, you know, then it just turns to mush. Typically, you need a lot of water. and we use a water truck to lightly spray the area if the soil is too dry, or let it dry out if it's too wet.
Got it. How do you check this?
Yeah, I would think a proper way to check would just be to grab a handful of soil. If it crumbles apart, it's probably too dry. And if it trips water, then it's most likely too wet. The sweet spot is when it holds together without breaking apart easily. For areas that will bear heavy loads, like drive aisles in a storage facility, we like to work in 8 to 12 inch layers using a sheep's foot roller. For clay or cohesive soils. Or a smooth drum roller is also effective for sandy or gravelly soils. While doing this, you're making multiple passes, overlapping each pass to ensure even density. Your engineers may require compaction testing to confirm it meets the required density. Usually, it's around 90 to 95% of maximum dry density per ASTM standards. Now, moving on, do you think you need special inspections for compaction?
Absolutely. Most cities require geotechnical engineers to perform compaction testing. So how this works is they take soil samples and measure density and moisture content to make sure it meets the required standards. We deal with this on most aspects. So from once the pad is compacted, we'll get the geotechnical engineer to come out and do a compaction test on that. And then we also, they'll come out for compaction testing on all the drive aisles. So definitely something that's important.
Yeah, so as you know, on this podcast, we like to share any good, bad, or ugly stories. So, Dad, did you have any stories in mind that are worth sharing?
Nothing's coming to mind on the bad and the ugly. Good-wise, on this particular project, we have passed all of our geotechnical engineering compaction studies. They haven't even been able to read the meter. It's over 100%. So we're doing over 100% compaction, and this is on dozens of tests. So the positive here is that the more compaction that you can get out of your soil, the least likely you're going to have cracks and settling down the road. In fact, we poured our pads right through the summer. Triple digits for weeks on end, and now here we are in winter, and you start to see where the cracks are going to show, and we've had very, very little crackage. So again, I know most people probably aren't going to do this in-house. They're going to hire a third party grading company to come out and do their compaction for them, but the importance here is that in our opinion, it's important to over compact if you can get your contractors on board on that. At the end, you're going to end up with a product that's going to last for years with very little problems. So I'd say this is a good story for self storage and making sure things are from the foundation up are going to be satisfactory for years and years to come.
That might be our first good story so far. And I just wanted to add, I think we would credit, our high scores of the compaction tests to the water that we used during, spreading out the gravel and then just, going over this gravel with the roller. I mean,
yeah,
just
multiple times. Yeah, the process is
hours on
it's
end.
About 6 to 8 inches of base rock and water and compaction, 6 to 8 inches of base rock, water and compaction, and just continue to overlap really makes a difference. I mean, it's so solid, it's amazing. It's almost like you don't even need concrete on it. It comes out so solid.
All right. So we've covered a ton today, but before we wrap it up, what's one piece of advice you'd give to someone starting a self-storage project and going through rough grading?
Yeah, I'd say plan ahead, get the right team in place. Your engineer, contractor, inspectors all play a huge role in making sure the grading process goes smoothly.
That's great advice. And I think that's it for episode 3 of The Good,
The Bad,
and The Ugly of Self-Storage. Next time, we'll be covering foundations and concrete. what you need to know before pouring slabs. One last thing, if you write us a review on the platform you listen from and send it to us at info@selfstoragebrokeragegroup.com, we will send you our must-have, the 50 money-saving questions to ask the professionals if you're thinking about building a self-storage facility. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Thanks for tuning in to the good, the bad, and the ugly of self-storage. We hope you found today's episode valuable. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like us, leave a review, and share it with others. For more tips and updates, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also listen to us on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, let's unlock the potential of self-storage together.